turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We will be in this very soon in our Sunday school time. But I felt as though we needed to read these verses this morning. And in regard to where we are in the coming of the Lord, I believe we can see without a shadow of a doubt that He is at the door. He is even at the place of entrance. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul writes to this church, Thessalonica, he says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We hold in our hand this morning a copy of the Word of God, and it's filled with the many promises of the Lord that He has given to us that He's coming again. That's not the only promise in the Scripture, but that's the promise that God has given to us that we can have comfort, we can have strength in this day and age in which we live. Today we are here in this place, the Lord's Day. Here it's Sunday. It's been Sunday around the world. Some's ahead of us, some's behind us. It's been the Lord's Day around the world. You and I this morning, we have many freedoms. We can come behind these doors, we can shut the door, we can talk, we can preach, we can sing, we can rejoice, we can cry, all because of the moments that God gives us through His Word. But there are multitudes today that do not have that freedom. There are people probably in North Korea this morning that will have died just simply because they own a copy of the Word of God. There are folks all around this world that are suffering and struggling because they name the name of Christ. I heard this week, even in Afghanistan, and I understand what they call Christians is maybe different than what I would call Christianity, but there's a city there that had Christians in that city for over 1,700 years, and they were told this week that they had 3 days to get out of town or be killed or convert to Islam. I'm glad this morning I don't have to deal with that, not yet at least. And there are bombs flying, rockets flying in the Middle East. Israel is at war. It doesn't matter what you want to call it. It's at war for protection. And isn't it strange how the news media and the politicians, it's always Israel's fault. They're always the problem. And they just simply are trying to protect their people. And these are all things that we know are happening. We know why they're happening. We understand that. I got an email this week from an individual that said there was a missionary in the Amazon, which that's in Brazil. And the missionary is there facing trial this week because he has been going into the villages there in the Amazon basin and preaching the gospel. People are getting saved and things are happening. And now he is in trial this week facing either up from 6 months up to 3 years in prison. It's all because of the gospel. It's all because of the message of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you turn over to Revelation chapter number 20, You have another promise right here at the end of the book. And I'm glad I know who made the promise, and I know He'll keep it. He'll take care of it. Revelation chapter 20, or chapter 22 rather, in verse number 20, says, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." As John signs off the end of his book. In verse number 20 there, it says, "The Lord saying, Behold, I come quickly." It is the Lord that is promising, "I shall come again." And it is John that says, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." John was not in a good predicament there. He was in a terrible condition. He was on the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God, because of the preaching of the Word of God, and he's there as an exiled prisoner. And he has now visioned all the things that we have written down in the book of the Revelation. And I can imagine as many things I don't understand about the book of Revelation. I can imagine how John must have felt as he was writing those things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not understanding all that, but realizing that it was going to come to pass. And now the very last promise of the Word of God, Jesus says, "Surely I come quickly." And John says, "Amen." And he has looked at this. He has written it down. He is literally in his heart, in his mind, and in the visions. He has lived part of what is yet to come. We call the tribulation, and he says, "Come, even so come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly." So we have before us the message and the promises of the Word of God. One of the first promises of the New Testament is the promise of the coming of the Lord. And we find that the last promise is right there where we read, is also of the coming of the Lord. And in between that, there are multiple times that Jesus, God, talks about His coming. And surely we need to be ready for the coming of our Lord. Sometimes folks say, "Well, these things are so old-fashioned. We've heard them for so long. And we are busy now. And we're in turmoil. And we really don't have time to even consider what the Scripture says." I'll tell you, you better consider what the Word of God says, because He is coming. And the New Testament promises that. There's nothing in heaven, there's nothing in hell, there's nothing on this earth that can or will prevent the coming of the Lord from heaven to this earth one day. And I believe it's very soon. I believe it's coming quickly. And we are in a position now that we're able to see so many things. I don't believe we ought to preach everything along current events, but I'll tell you what, when current events go along with the Word of God, it gives you an ear, it gives you an eye, it gives you an understanding that we're in a place that we've never been before. The story is told of a man that bought his wife a huge grandfather clock. And of course, we know grandfather clocks on the hour, they strike the numbers. At 1 o'clock, it would strike one time. At 5 o'clock, it would strike five times, and so on. They were laying in bed one night, and the clock started striking, and the numbers started counting up. And he was laying there, and he counted 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and he just kept on striking the hours. He wakes his wife up and says, "Honey, we've got to get up. It's later than it's ever been." Well, you and I, we better understand it's later right now than it's ever been. We are in a world that has now set itself up for the coming of our Lord. And I don't believe we ought to be in despair. I don't think we ought to be in turmoil or trouble over that. I believe, as the Scripture says, what we read says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I'm glad the Apostle Paul put that last verse there in 1 Thessalonians 4, because when you read all this, sometimes that might be discomforting. Some of the things we read in the Scripture sometimes can be disheartening, and we do not understand, and we have a problem with it, and we just our minds are troubled. But Paul says, when you see this, when these things happen, he says, comfort one another with these words. That means we ought to be able to discuss it And when we get finished, not be in turmoil, but be comforted by the Word of God, knowing that Jesus is coming. It is later today than it's ever been. We are farther down God's prophetic calendar than we have ever been. And as time marches on, we are getting closer to that fateful event that will happen, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tell you anything that you have not heard. If I did, it'd probably be wrong. There's nothing new under the sun. The things that are given to us in the Scripture, we cannot make them different. We can't make them more important because they are just set already there. And so the things I'll tell you this morning and preach to you this morning is not something that is new or something that is different or something that is out of the ordinary, but I believe it's something that we need to meditate upon and think about and to be comforted in knowing where we are in this world system. I believe the coming of the Lord is in two stages. I believe He comes for His saints, and then later He comes with His saints. And the Scripture gives us a time frame and a time period of that, and we do not have time to go into all of that. But I believe when the Lord comes for us, that is what we call the rapture. That's what we call the catching away. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says here, Paul uses this term, says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that was not in vain." I'm in the wrong one. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." So Paul talks about it as a gathering unto Him. We call it the word rapture. And I understand, I know that the word rapture is not in the Scripture, but the catching away is, and that's what the word rapture means. The gathering unto Him. We're going to be gathered unto the Lord. I'm glad this morning there's a day coming that you and I, as believers, we're going to be gathered to the Lord. We're going to be brought into His very presence, and it's all going to be because of what He has done and what He's doing and what we did one day in our life becoming Christian. And so that's the first stage or first phase of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a second stage that we'll look at if we have time this morning. That's the coming of the Lord in glory. That's coming with the saints. But I want us to notice some things about this coming of the Lord or the second coming of Christ. And particularly this first part of the coming of Christ. I want us to look at what we call the rapture. The message is given here in these verses that we read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He tells us here that there's coming the Lord because He's died, He's risen again. Paul says, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." And he said, "There's a Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain, then we'll go up to be with the Lord." That is the gathering on to Christ. Now this first phase, or the first part of the coming of Christ, is going to be a sudden event. Somebody says, "How is it going to be a sudden event when we have looked for it for so many years? How is it going to be a sudden event when my fathers and grandfathers have preached the same thing and believed the same thing that we do, and it has not happened yet, but yet we say that it is a sudden event?" I'll tell you what, in the twinkling of an eye, it's pretty sudden. And when He comes, now it's taken a lot of time to get where we are. It's taken a lot of time to get us in the position of His coming. But when He comes, it's going to be a sudden, quick event. When the Lord comes for His saints, there's no warning about it. There's no maybe so. There's no preparation for it. The only way you can be prepared for the rapture or the coming of Christ is to be born again. Now, the Scripture doesn't give us any signs or any things that warn us concerning the rapture. It just says it's going to happen. And one of these days, I believe, possibly could be even today. I believed it could have been yesterday, but it didn't happen, so it could be today. And if it doesn't happen today, it could be tomorrow because He is coming. And when He comes, it's going to be a sudden event, and we're going to disappear. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with Him in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. The Bible says we'll be there forever. And so this quick event that comes, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so here in 1 Corinthians tells us the very same thing as he does here in Thessalonians, that he, when he comes, we're going to be raised, we're going to be incorruptible, and we're going to be changed. And it's in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know how fast that is, but that's pretty quick. It doesn't say the blink of an eye, it says the twinkle of an eye. And so ever how quick that is, ever how fast that goes by, is how fast we're going to leave this world and we're going to be with the Lord. Now, I know there's songs that gives us the terms of when we go past the stars and the sun and the moon, we'll say goodbye world, goodbye. We're not going to have time to do all that. We're going to be in the presence of God. That makes good singing, makes maybe sometime exciting preaching, but it's just not going to happen that way. The Scripture says, in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, we're going to raise. The dead's going to rise first. And then we shall be changed, and we'll put on incorruption. The Bible says in another place that mortality will put on immortality. And we're going to be in the very presence of the Lord immediately, and there is the coming for His saints. It is a sudden event. It is something that's going to take place, and we're going to be here and there before we realize what has happened to us. I'm glad I'm ready to go. I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm glad I've been saved, because that is the only thing that we have to prepare for this thing we call the rapture. Not only is it a sudden event, but it's a secret event. Now, we're part of a secret group. I'm not going to call us a secret society because I'm not too fond of those fellas. But we're in a secret group that sometimes, many times, the world has no idea of where we are. The rapture is not a public event. Now, it's going to stir up some things publicly, but it's not a public event upon all people. Not everybody is going to see the Lord. Not everybody is going to hear the sound of the trumpet. When you got saved, God gave you the ability to hear the sound of His trumpet. The lost person, the lost man, the lost woman, they do not have that ability. They've not been born again. And so when He comes, it's going to be a secret event, and not everyone is going to go. The devil will, the Scripture says, will deceive their minds. And the Scripture says they're going to have deception and they're going to believe a lie. I can just imagine some of the stories that will be told why so many people are missing. And folks are so strange today, I believe that they'll believe anything. And so it's not going to be some strange event. It's not going to be some cosmic event that takes place that destroys everything and we're just going to have a problem. That's not the event that we're talking about. It is an event that is a secret event. And we are taken out of here in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the devil, he deceives their minds and he deceives their hearts. They believe a lie and they will then spend eternity damned as a sinner in hell for all the time that is ahead. They may not and will not understand it. They'll not be able to explain it. And they will know some of the population has mysteriously vanished. I know where I'm going to be, and I'm going to understand it. I understand it now. It hadn't happened, but I understand what's going to happen. It hadn't taken place at this moment, but I understand it will take place. It will happen. And when I leave here and you leave here, and if it is this morning, we'll go up together to be with Him in the air forever and forever. We leave behind those that are lost, and they're going to be confused about that event. And the Scripture says they will believe a lie. The Bible says when the Lord comes again, it's going to be a day of great separation. We are going to be separated. The lost will be separated from the saved. And we'll be separated from those of this world that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is a sudden event that will happen in the twinkling of an eye. And it's a secret event that not everybody is involved in it. Not everybody will know. Not everybody will be part of that. And then it's for you and I, though, for the child of God, for the Christian. Thank the Lord this morning, it's a satisfying event. I'm going to be satisfied And I'm sure we all will have that same understanding. The Bible says in Psalm number 17, verse number 15, David says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. And the Scripture says we're going to be just like the Lord. And David, thousands of years ago, wrote, he said, I'll be satisfied in His likeness. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, John writes, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know. I'm glad there's some things we know. I'm glad there's some things that we can have understanding about. But we know that when He shall appear, you see, the Bible is full of the understanding that He is coming. The Bible is full of the doctrine of the coming of the Lord. And John said, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a day that satisfies every believer. That which we have waited and longed for finally has come to pass. That which our parents and grandparents, our forefathers preached about, looked for. I believe the Apostle Paul even looked for the coming of the Lord. He writes in such a way that he believes that it could be at any moment, any time. That's why you cannot have signs up to the rapture, because Paul believed he was coming in his day, in his time. And so there's not anything that has to be done for the Lord to come for His saints. And so Paul believed that, and all the generations after the Apostle Paul have believed that and preached that. There's been some confusion on it and been some manipulating of Scripture that would give you false doctrine, but the Scripture is very clear that Jesus is coming again, and when He comes, we're going to be satisfied with it. On that day, on this earth, nothing will hold our attention, for our eyes will be turned upon the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That day, all the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious face. You and I this morning, we believe, we teach, we understand, we rejoice in the understanding and knowledge that Jesus is coming. We live in a terrible world. This week has been a terrible week as far as world events is concerned. You have the airplane that's shot down for no reason. 300-something people go off into eternity. We hear of the bombs, and we hear of the rockets. We hear of all the struggles. You watch the video, you see the people that are trying to destroy. All of a sudden, they're disappeared because they've been incinerated by the rocket that hits them. It's a terrible world we live in. And when Jesus comes, He's going to take care of that. Thank God one day, coming, we're going to see Him through our eyes as He is. We will see Him as He is, satisfied in the Lord. It's a sudden event, that quick. Quicker than that. I don't know how you measure a twinkle of an eye. You've seen people, their eyes just sparkle. That's the twinkle. Well, that's how quick we're leaving. That's pretty sudden. And it's an event that is a secret event. It's an event that is satisfying to you and I. And gives to us the knowledge that one day it's going to be much better than it is today. I'm glad I have a better day. I'm glad I have a day of hope. I'm glad I have a time that I've got rejoicing in my soul. The same verse that says I'm going to be like Him says that we'll be with Him forever and ever. It's not going to change. It's not going to depart. It's not going to stop. So when we read these words, for the Lord Himself shall descend. He's not going to send a representative. He's coming. He's not going to send someone to take His place. He's coming. For the Lord Himself shall descend. And with a shout, the voice, and the archangel, and the trump of God, all those things are involved when He comes again. And I believe as a believer, as a Christian, you and I will hear every one of those things. We'll hear the shout. We'll hear the voice of the archangel. We'll hear the trump of God. You know what it says? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. We are gathering unto Him. We are finding our place. We are finding the time that we are going to be with Him forever and forever. So it's sudden, it's secret, it's selective. I mean, it's just for a few. I believe Jesus died for everyone, but just a few is going to hear, and just a few is going to leave. And so it's a selective group one day that's going to leave here. We'll be satisfied with Him. And then the Scripture talks about that seven-year period of time. And again, there's so much detail that it'd take three or four messages to get all the proofs and all the things in there. How we know it's a seven-year period and all the Scripture gives us very clear indication of period of time, even down to how many days it is in the book of the Revelation. And so we find there's a period of time that the Lord is going to be dealing with those that are left behind. There have been, in days gone by, a couple of movies put out by that title, Left Behind, and there are going to be folks left behind. There are going to be people that are not saved. There are going to be people that do not hear the sound. There are going to be those that do not believe, and they're going to be left behind, and God's going to deal with them. And that first stage is over. We call the rapture. We go to be with the Lord, and then that seven-year period of time when God deals with mankind. I don't know about you, but when you look at the news and you see all the things that's happening, I believe mankind needs to be dealt with. I believe it needs to be handled properly. Now, the world courts will not handle it properly. The United Nations will not handle things properly. They'll condemn what we know is right and they'll accept what we know is wrong. So we have no confidence in the world courts and the world system. The politicians will not handle it correctly. But the world needs to be dealt with, and I know one that will handle it right. His name is Jesus Christ. And He'll handle the situation. He'll take care of that which is needed. And so we go up to be with the Lord, as Paul says, and then the time frame that we call the Great Tribulation, the time that I believe it's John that calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob being Israel. The primary purpose of the tribulation is to deal with Israel, because Israel 2,000 years ago rejected their Savior. They rejected their Messiah. They rejected the Son of God. And now God's going to deal with them because they hated Him and crucified Him and said, let His blood be on our children's 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 hands. And I'll tell you what, the blood of the Lord has been on their hands. And they've suffered immensely. A little small piece of property on this large earth called Israel, and it's the focal attention of everybody upon earth. Wonder why. It's God's people. God told Abraham, said, I'm going to give you a land. It's going to be your land forever and forever, continually. And that still goes today. That's the unconditional promise of God to Israel for a land. Now, they've been in it. They've been out of it. They've been overthrown. They've been reestablished. They've been torn asunder. But that land has always been their land. And they've got just a small portion of what God gave them. And one day they'll get it all. They'll have all those other countries surrounding them. They'll own that property. And they'll have their rightful place. But until then, God's going to deal with the Jew. And in doing that, He deals with the Gentile, because we've all gone our own way. We've all turned our back upon God. And Jesus Christ is going to judge this world. And that's after that's over, He's coming again. That's the second phase of His coming. He comes in the air. Not the whole world sees Him. Not the whole world hears Him. But we which are alive, we which believe and we're alive and remain upon the earth, we're going to be caught up to be with Him. So that's where we leave this world. That's the gathering unto Christ. Tribulation comes, and now the Scripture says that He is going to come again with His saints. That's That's when we come again. That's when He sets His feet upon the Mount of Olives. That's when He sets His feet upon the prized possession of His own. And the Scripture deals with us, and that is going to be a public event. Where the rapture has been private, where the rapture has been secluded, not everybody, this event is going to be public. The whole world is going to know who Jesus is then. All that, comfort one another with these words. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." Notice the next part of the verse says, "And every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him." Who's that? That's the Jew. "They that pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth." Who's that? That's the Gentiles. That's the Romans. That's the Americans. That's the Brits. That's all of us. "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Because they know He's coming, the Scripture says, with judgment. On that day, when He comes then, every eye shall behold Him. Every unbeliever, every heathen, every God-hater, every scoffer, every person that's ever made a slight against Him, every unbeliever, every eye shall see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in the Revelation that they even cry for the rocks to fall upon them. They cry for the mountains to swallow them up and cry for the earth to open up and swallow them. And the Bible says that it will not happen. There's a period of time, again, if I had time this morning, we could find the Revelation. There's a period of time of 5 months that people cannot die. They cannot die. They want to die. And the Bible says they see the fear that's upon them for those things that's coming upon them. And they want to die, and they cry to die, and they try to have every way possible to die. But death has fled from them. Because in this public event, Jesus is dealing with them one-on-one, nation and kindred and spirit. It will be a public event. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So that's how he came, a servant, a man. "And being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So in that one, those few verses there tell us how He came. And came the first time as a babe and died on a cross. But the verses don't stop there. They go on. The next verse says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. And that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow," that will take place. "Of the things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." One of these days, all the wicked of this world, they're going to glorify, they're going to honor Him as the Son of God. On promise, too late. They do it now because they have to. "Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." I'll tell you what, you'll either do it on this side of life or you'll do it on the other side. But every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, either at an old rugged cross, either at an altar, at your home, wherever you might be. You'll bow there or you'll bow in eternity. And it'll be too late. So it's a paralyzing event that takes place. Everyone, we have time for Him that day. Today, the world doesn't have time for Christ. It's a mockery. It's fun. It's a joke. I'll tell you, that day, it won't be mockery. That day, it won't be fun. That day, they'll recognize, the Jew will recognize who they pierced. they will recognize, they'll see the scars, and that's given to us in the Old Testament. But they'll see the scars of His hands, and they'll cry out, and they'll recognize who He is. And the Gentile, all the other nations, they'll recognize. They may not want Him now. They may not have time for Him now, but they'll have time that day, for their knee shall bow, and their tongue shall confess that Jesus is coming. When He comes, it's going to be not just public, and it's not just going to seemingly paralyze them, but it's going to be an event that punishes the world for the rejection of the Son of God. You know, this world has always desired to have a perfect society. We find it in so many times. People will, back in the earlier years of my life, we had President Johnson. He had to beautify America, and he had just so many things that make everything just right. And every other president from then on has always wanted things to be right. They funnel the money in. They funnel more money in. They funnel more money. And it doesn't get any better. It gets worse. You know why? We're dealing with a lost society that does not know how to be right. It does not know how to do right. But they've always wanted a perfect society. You know why? I really believe the reason that is in the heart of man is because when God put man in the Garden of Eden, He had a perfect society. He had just what He wants now. There was no sin there. There was no disgrace there. There was no murder there. There was no killing there. There was no sickness there. The garden was perfect. It was the great society. And every person from the time they've lost that until now really wants that again. Just don't know how to get it. How many times we hear people say, well, I don't know why it can't get better. I don't know why it keeps getting worse. Because we don't know the right person. And when Jesus comes again, He came the first time, He was born in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes or just little small strips of cloth. He came first time to offer mercy. He came the first time to give grace to a lost and dying world. But when He returns, when He comes again, it will not be to offer mercy. It will not be to offer grace. The Bible says that He will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will put down every injustice. He will put down every wrongdoing, every ungodliness. He'll put it down. He'll put it aside. When He comes again, in that period of time, it's not for peace. It's not for grace. It's not for mercy. It's a time of judgment. It's a time of justice. It's a time of wrath. And Paul says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm glad I got a better day ahead. We've been in church here 2 hours. You'll go home, turn on the news, and you might be shocked at what's happened in these 2 hours. I mean, anything can happen. We live in a world of turmoil. But I'm glad, I thank God, I know the God of peace. And as we trust Him, as we believe upon Him, He becomes our God of peace. I'm ready for the first stage of the coming. That's our gathering unto Him. That's the rapture. We're going to be with the Lord. There's no other way. There's nothing else to do to get ready except believe. The only thing that will get a person in the rapture is belief. Salvation. It's not of works. It's not of good deeds. It's not of words we say. It is purely by the grace of God. And one of these days, Jesus is coming for His saints. His people. Born again, believers. I don't know about anybody else, but I think we ought to sort of echo the words of John. Says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, John. And John was in that turmoil there on the Isle of Patmos, and he was there because of his message. He was there because of the Word of God. He was there because he was a faithful servant of God. And now he's a prisoner on an island of ungodliness. And he says, "Oh, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." For John has already experienced in his heart and his mind, his visions, he has already seen the end result. He says, "Come on." What little we have in the Scripture, I think it ought to make us say, "Come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Whether or not we go to be with the Lord is truly our choice. We can say yes or we can say no. The coming of the Lord, we have nothing to do with that. And the only thing we can be ready is to say yes, to call upon Him. It's our position. I don't know how to make it any clearer, how to make it any more simple. You must be born again. And so this morning, as we hear of all the struggles in this world, and my goodness, how hopeless this world is, how wicked. Y'all just think sometimes how wicked governments are. Governments have never been a friend to the church of the living God. How wicked people are. Where's it going to stop? I don't know. How bad is it going to get? I don't know. But I do know one thing. He's coming. And when He comes, it's over. We shall be with Him forever and forever. May God deliver us. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together this morning.